Shalom Aleichem and welcome to this shiur on the Tafsik Method by GuardYourEyes.com. First of all, Rabbi Yisai, I want to commend you for taking the time to listen to this shiur. Unfortunately, the nisyonos today are very great. The accessibility and the anonymity of the internet have made this into mamish a magefa, a plague. Thousands of frum yidin, unfortunately, today are struggling with these inyanim. And the fact that you're taking the time to reach out for help, to try to work on yourself, is surely giving the Rabbi Nishleilim tremendous nachas ruach. There are so many people today that just give up and don't even try. Those who refuse to give in are from Hashem's frontline soldiers today. Habolitai or Messiah Loi, those who come to be purified are helped from heaven, and the Rabbi Nishleilim is not looking for perfection. Only Malachim can be perfect. We're just human beings. Hashem is looking for progress. He wants to see that we're doing our best, that we're making Gedarim, that we're making progress from day to day, week to week, and not giving up, but we keep trying to find ways to move forward in this inyan. So the Tafsik method is something that has been shown to work wonders with frum people who are struggling with these inyanim. What does it mean, Tafsik? Tafsik in Hebrew means stop, but in English it stands for the physical-spiritual combination because it combines both physical knosis and spiritual repercussions in an effort to find the right formula to help us break free. Now, before we begin explaining it, I just want to make clear that this mahalach, the Tafsik method, may not work for high-level addicts. It does work pretty well with people who are struggling with this as a Yetzihara, and even people who are already in various levels of addiction. But if a person has already reached a high level of addiction, or if a person doesn't have any Yiras Shemayim, for example, if their addiction is so strong that they're actually Mechal Shabbos because of it, or things like that, they would need more extreme help than the Tafsik method, and we would suggest them to join our 12-step phone conferences or join a live 12-step meeting in their hometown and or to consider therapy and things like that. But for most frum addicts who are struggling with this, the Tafsik method can really work wonders. The Tafsik method involves making a shavua, but it's not the standard shavua that people think, that they make a shavua, I'm not going to be moitzi zer levatala, or I'm not going to look at pornography. You know, we may have tried those type of shuas in the past. They don't work very well because just like we know it's usher to be moitzi zera, we know it's usher to look at pornography, and we do it anyway because the taiva is so strong, the same way that we could, easily break a shuah that's made in such a way. So it does involve a shuah, but it's a shuah made in a much smarter way, and it uses psychology and a very delicate balance between physical and spiritual repercussions. Now, some people, when they hear that this involves a shvua, they right away turn off, either because they've tried shvuas in the past and they haven't worked, or because they're afraid of making shvuas. So I want to make it clear that, first of all, we've discussed this method with Poiskim. For example, Rav Yosef Yitzchak Rosenfeld, who's a dayan in Muncie, Rav Yisrael Barzovsky, who's a dayan in Beitar. We've discussed it with experts like Rav Avram Yeshua Twersky, and even Gedolim like Rav Aaron Feldman, Rosh Hashiva of Ner Yisrael Baltimore, who's on the Mayetzes Gedolei HaTorah. I also want to point out that even though Chazal normally frown upon making shvuas, when it comes to making shvuas for Gidre Arayas, we find that this is actually commendable. The Pasuk in Parshas Matis says, Vaydaber Moshe el Roshei HaMatis levnei Yisrael Eimor, and Moshe spoke to the heads of the Shvatim, to the Jewish people, saying, Ze adover asher tziva Hashem, this is the thing that Hashem has commanded. Ish ki yidor ned el Hashem, a man who makes a vow, Oyeshava shvua le'eser Yisrael Navshay, or who makes a shvua to make something aser to him, Loyachal devaroi, he should not go back on his words, he should not make his words chulin, kechol ha'yotze mipiv yaseh, whatever comes out of his mouth he should do. So the Orach Chaim HaKadosh explains, Ve'omer ha'kosuv kan, ki yesh nedorim u'shvuos she'tziva Hashem oisom. The Pasuk is telling us that there are nedorim and shvuos that Hashem commanded us to make. That's why the Pasuk starts out, Ze ha'dover she'tziva Hashem, this is the thing that Hashem has commanded. Ve'hu omer livnei Yisrael lemer, and it says to the Jewish people, saying, Ein lemer el agilu arayis. In Sanhedrin nun vavam and beis, we see that the word lemer is mirames an arayis. Pirush, lechashash arayis, ze hadover asher tziva Hashem. When a person is choshesh, when a person is afraid that he may stumble in the area of arayis, this is the thing that Hashem has commanded that a person should make himself a vow. V'digdek lemer ish, and the Pasuk says the word man, lirmoiz litik, boires nigud ataiva, to be mirames on overcoming the desire. Ka'oim Ramzal, like Chazal say on the Pasuk, Chai Hashem Shichvi Ad HaBoker, It says by Boaz that when Ruth came to him alone at night, he said to her, Chai Hashem Shichvi Ad HaBoker. He swore in the name of Hashem, lay here till the morning. Chazal say, Shenishba LeYitzroi. He made a shvua to his Yetzer that he would not be with her before marrying her. V'chein Omru Nedorim Zayin Amud Beis. And also Chazal say in the Gemara Nedorim, on the Pasuk Nishbati V'akayema Lishmar Mishpatei Tzidkecha. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, I have sworn and I will upkeep to guard your mitzvahs. It's actually a mitzvah for a person to make a shvua to protect himself from the Yetzirah. Ad Kan is the lashon of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And we find also in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Nedarim Siog LaPrishus. Nedarim are a fence for abstinence. And another pasuk in Tehillim says, Nishpa le'orav lo'yomir, oise eile lo'yimot le'olam. He who swears to prevent bad and does not nullify his word will never falter. So basically, the Tafsik method involves making a shavua in a very smart and safe way. You know, we often feel like two different people. After every fall, we ask ourselves, you know, what will it take to finally stop me? Do I have any hope? How can it be that I'm a frum yid in all other areas besides for this? Do I have Yiras Shamayim or don't I have Yiras Shamayim? So the first thing that we have to realize is that it's not really a question of Yiras Shamayim or not. When Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai blessed his students before he died, he said, may your fear of heaven be equal to your fear of man. And his students asked him, Rebbe, Ad Kan, is that all? And he said, Halavai. Because as much as we think we have Yiras Shamayim, our fear of man is much greater. And the spiritual repercussions of acting out, such as Gehenim, or the reward for not acting out, such as Gan Eden, are very abstract to us. It's not something we can see. It's only after 120, you know, we believe, Gehenim, Gan Eden. But these taivas are not abstract, they're very real. They're right in front of us. And it's much, much harder to use abstract emuna to combat such a strong and real taiva. Even Rabbi Akiva wasn't able to stop himself when he was faced head-on with a big nesayin. The Gemara in Kedushin, Pei Aleph Omed Aleph, says that Rabbi Akiva was misloitet ba'ivre avera. He found it hard to understand people who were sinning, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to show him the power of the Yetzihara. The Satan was mislabish in Anisha, and it was such a huge nisayan that he started climbing up the tree to sin until, in the schus of his Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped him at the last minute. This is the same Rabbi Akiva that said Shema Yisrael when they were combing his skin with Masreka Shel Barzel. So when it comes to a nisayan of head-on lust, it's not only a question of Yiras Shamayim. The trick is learning how to avoid the nisayanis in the first place. So the first thing we have to do is face the truth about ourselves. We know that the spiritual repercussions alone are generally not enough to stop us. You know, even though we believe that this is a big Aveira, we believe that this cuts off our Siyata Dishmaya in many areas of our life, like the Pasuk says, Ki yira b'cha'er v'azdovar v'shov mi'acharecha. We believe that it's desensitizing us to Kedusha. We feel like a hypocrite. We know that we're affecting the Soid, the foundation of our entire spiritual structure. We know that this is affecting our eternity. It can cut us off from the world to come. But in spite of all the above, we see that the Yiras Shamayim alone is not enough to stop us. Even physically, we see it makes us depressed, we lose time from work, we feel distant from our wife and children. We also know that people can find out and we can lose our good name, our job, our marriage, our children. We know that addictions get worse, never better. And who knows where this could lead to? I mean, this addiction has been known to land people in jail, or even worse, Chas V'Shalom. And still it doesn't stop us. So we have to ask ourselves, what spiritual or physical repercussions would actually stop us? And we know that most of us, at least, would not be mechal Shabbos to view the shmutz. You know, we could push it off 24 hours. And we wouldn't eat treif, let's say, if the only way to act out was by eating a ham sandwich first. We probably would hold out and not do it then. And we know that after we fall and we want to get back up, we don't want to throw out the rest of our Yiddishkeit. We feel bad about it. We want to come back to Hashem. If we had a choice after a fall to push a button, stop these averus forever, we would press it. We don't want this. This shows us that we still have a holy spark. The Yiras Shamayim is still there. It may not be enough to stop us in general, but it's strong enough to make us want to get rid of the behaviors after the fact. And even before the fact, we would be able to hold out if it had to do with eating treif for Chilul Shabbos. So we see there are spiritual repercussions that would stop us if they were only big enough, and especially when we're not under the spell of the lust, especially after the fall. Now let's look at the physical repercussions. Imagine we were about to act out and someone walked into the room. Would we continue? Or imagine if every time we acted out, we became racked with pain. We suddenly got sick, we'd have to be taken to the hospital and stay there for a few hours and get a shot to return to normal. Would we still continue? Probably not. After a while, we'd realize it's just not worth it. So we see that there are physical repercussions as well that would stop us if they were only big enough. So the way the Tafsik method works is we try to find the perfect formula, which is a combination of spiritual and physical repercussions that will be big enough to stop us. So here's the way the basic Tafsik method works. We make a shvua, and possibly even in the name of Hashem, you know, actually say Hashem's name, shvua b'shem ad Hashem, for 1 month, let's say, that after I look at pornography or I'm mitzizar levatala, I will have to donate $1,000 to guard your eyes, or I will have to fast for 24 hours, or I will have to take a bus from one end of town to the other, stay in a shul for 6 hours, and then come home. In other words, we give ourselves a very big knas for acting out. That simply makes it not worth it anymore. You see, after the fact, after the person has fallen already, if he has a shvua on his head, he knows that he's going to keep it. The Yetzirah knows that too. He knows that you're going to keep it. He knows you're not throwing out your Yiddishkeit, Shabbos, Kashrus, and he knows that you're not going to break a shvua that was made in the name of Hashem. Hashem will never clean someone who swears in his name in vain. In other words, it's a huge Aveira. It's one of the Aseres HaDibris. So we know that we're going to have to keep it. Now, I'm not saying everyone has to make the Shvua with Hashem's name. You can make a Shvua without Hashem's name, too. To break such a Shvua is also a very stringent Aveira. Lo yachal devoroi kechol ha-yoytzim pivyase. And Chazal is full of warnings of the dire consequences of those who break their Shvuas. But if a person wants to make it super strong, he can use Hashem's name. So this method actually uses psychology, because the way it works is that when you get an attack of lust suddenly, you stop and think to yourself, if I act on this desire, I'm going to have to do something really hard. So even the Yetzer Hara will agree that it's just not worth it, because he knows you're going to have to keep it. And what happens is, it's like a switch in the brain. Suddenly we don't feel that compulsion anymore. We know it's simply not an option. You see, the way the addiction works is that it feeds off the habit. The fact that we've done it so many times, so what if I do it again one more time? What's the big deal? I'll do tshuva later or whatever. And then we just sink deeper and deeper into it, because the more we feed it, the more we need it. But with this method, as hard as it may feel at times, even in difficult moments when we feel down, when we feel, what's the difference? I'm already so far from Hashem, so I'll act out, you know, and Yiras Shamayim is just not going to be enough to stop us. But if we know we're going to have to do something really hard afterwards, it's just not a choice anymore. You know, one guy in Guard Your Eyes wrote that he vowed to give $200 to tzedakah every time he fell. Within 4 falls, he was free of his addiction. Another guy in Israel wrote us that he made a vow that every time he fell, he would have to take a trip by bus to the Kaisel and stay there for 2 hours. And ultimately, that helped him stop completely, because each time he felt he was about to give in, he would remember what he's going to have to do afterwards, and that was a deterrent for him. Now, we have to find the right balance, because if the knas is too big, then there's a serious chashash that the person might actually not keep the vow. Like, I know somebody who made a vow that he's going to have to tell his wife if he falls, and then when it came to it, he just couldn't bring himself to do it. Or if a guy makes a vow he's going to have to give $10,000 to tzedakah, there's a real chashash he might just not do it. But if the knas is too small, then it might not work enough to deter him. So it takes some time to find the right balance, and that's why we tell people never make the shvua for more than a month at a time, so you can adjust the shvua based on the experience of the past month. We can start with the shvua for a week, 2 weeks, and if we see it works well, we can extend it to a month, 2 months. Ultimately, down the line, when we find the right formula, we can make the shvua for up to a year at a time. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to talk about an even more powerful way of making the Tafsik shvua. It's called the double fence Tafsik method. But before we get there, I want to just go through some important yesoidus. Number one, there's a very important chazal that a lot of people don't know, especially Bachrim. Chazal say, Ever katan ba'adam, there's a small limb in a man. Maspioi rav, when you feed it, it's hungry. Marivoi sava, but when you starve it, it is satiated. In other words, this small limb, this taiva, the way it works is that the more we feed it, the more we need it. Maspioi rav, you feed it, it's hungry. Marivoi sava, but if we starve it, it actually feels satiated. A lot of people, especially Bachrim, think, you know, even if I can hold out a few days, a week, at some point, I feel like I'm going to explode. It's just going to get harder and harder. And it's not true. It's the exact opposite. The less we do it, the easier it gets over time. And that's why the Tafsik method is so important. Even if we do end up falling occasionally and doing the knas, but it will definitely help us cut down. Like we said in the beginning of this year, Hashem is looking for progress, not perfection. The more we cut down, the easier it'll get over time, and ultimately we'll be able to stop these behaviors completely. I want to also point out, a lot of people try putting in filters upon filters and accountability software. Now, don't get me wrong, filters and accountability software are wonderful. They're very important. They keep us farther from the edge of the cliff, but we can't rely on them. there's always going to be ways around the filters. There's always going to be a computer that's not protected, a phone, or a neighbor, or a friend, or a family member who has a computer that's not protected. An addict will find a way to get a fix. I know so many people who put in all types of filters, and they just keep finding ways around them. That's why the Tafsik method is so powerful. It works as an extra level of protection on top of the filters. Because even if I find a way around the filter, I'm still going to have to do the knas. There's no more games. The filter is good because it keeps us far from the edge of the cliff. But I know that I can always go to the edge of the cliff and jump off. But with the Tafsik method, I know that I would just be committing suicide to do that. I can't afford to jump off the edge of the cliff. So I let the filters do their work, which protects me from accidentally stumbling onto this material, or keeps it at least out of immediate hand's reach. Now let's talk about the double fence Tafsik method. This involves choosing a small knas and a big knas. And it also involves choosing distractions, some things that you're going to do before you allow yourself to fall, like doing 10 minutes of exercise, or speaking to a friend for 5 minutes, or saying 20 minutes of Tehillim. Now we'll try to give you an exact nusach of how to set up this shvuah in a few minutes, but for now let's just explain how this works more or less. Okay, so let's say you choose for the big knas $1,000 to guard your eyes. By the way, the reason we suggest donating the money to guard your eyes is because if you have a fall, your money will go towards helping other yidden to break free. And midah keneged midah, by helping other yidden, you will get special siyata d'shmaya from Hashem to be matzliach in your own struggles. That's why we suggest that if anybody makes themselves monetary knosses, the money should go to guard your eyes. So let's say you choose a big knas of $1,000 and a small knas of $50. Or a big knas of a 24-hour fast and a small knas of a half-a-day fast. The big knas should be significantly more difficult than the small knas. And let's say you choose that before you allow yourself to fall, you're going to have to do 10 minutes of exercise, just for example. So the way it works is you make a shvuah for a month that anytime you fall, and of course you have to define what a fall means, looking at pornography, being maitzizar levatala, listening to bad phone lines. So anytime you fall in the next month, without having first done those things that you agreed to do before falling, like exercise, you're going to have to give the big knas. However, if, let's say in the hour preceding your fall, you did do the things that you agreed to do, you did do the exercise, and then you fell, so then you'd only have to do the small knas. So this is a very powerful way of setting up the gedder for yourself. Because the way it works is, when the Yetzirah comes to you and says, you have to fall, you know, you feel this fire of desire, you stop and say, whoa, 1 second. I'd have to be insane to just act compulsively and give in now. I can't afford $1,000. I can't afford a 24-hour fast. That's ridiculous. So I'm going to do the 10 minutes of exercise, and then I'll fall. The small knas I can afford. So what happens is, first of all, many times you're just not going to be in the mood to do the exercise, and you'll say, the heck with it. I'll push it off for a different time. And even if you end up doing the exercise, many times just doing 10 minutes of rigorous exercise will get out all that sexual tension, and you'll feel afterwards you don't have to give in. You'll get over it. And even in the case that you do the exercise and fall, you've already accomplished a big thing. You're training yourself not to act compulsively. You see, the addiction is 90% compulsivity. If you can train yourself not to act compulsively, to stop, to do some things before you fall, you've already done a tremendous step forward in breaking free of this addiction. I would like to read to you from a scientific study about pornography addiction. There's something called the funnel of sexual process. Imagine in your mind an hourglass or funnel, wide at the top and slowly narrowing down to a very small passageway in the center and then back to a wide opening at the bottom. This is a perfect illustration of how the brain behaves in sexual process. In everyday life, our brain has a relatively wide perspective. But once an individual becomes sexually aroused, the brain immediately begins narrowing its focus as it releases a tidal wave of neurochemicals culminating at climax and then returning to its wide perspective. The neurochemical dopamine in the brain narrowly focuses attention and energy and causes us to ignore negatives, triggers feelings of ecstasy and arousal, and creates a powerful dependency. In a healthy relationship, this is a wonderful chemical because it causes the couple to focus narrowly on each other and ignore the negatives. It also creates a healthy relationship dependency. However, move this powerful chemical into the pornography funnel, and while the process is almost identical, the outcome is radically different. The porn viewer's energy and attention are narrowly focused on the images. Any thoughts of spouse, family, beliefs, consequences, future goals, etc. are ignored and blocked out, and the release of dopamine creates a chemical dependency linked to the images that is so powerful it has been directly compared to cocaine addiction. Until here is the quote from the scientific study that I wanted to bring. There are other chemicals as well involved in this addiction, but the reason I wanted to bring that up is because we forget all consequences, beliefs, and goals when we're under the spell of the addiction. And that's why the Tafsik method is so powerful, because it makes the consequences so much more real to us that we can't ignore them. Now, finding the perfect balance is not always so easy. The small knas, if it's too small, it won't have any effect. The big knas, if it's not strong enough, it won't have enough of an effect. If it's too strong, there's a risk we won't do it. And the distractions that we choose have to be things that are a little bit difficult to do and will help distract us from the powerful lust that we're feeling. Let's try to give some examples of the small knas. It could be $50 or $100 to guard your eyes. It could be a cold shower. It could be that I'll have to take an hour walk. I will have to take a bus to the Kever of a Tzaddik or to the Koisel and stay there for an hour. Maybe I'll have to clean the floors of my home, scrub the toilets, put away clean laundry. It could be a half a day fast. It could be saying half of Tillim, the whole Tillim. Each person needs to find the right balance, the right knas that works for them, that no matter what, even if they do the distractions, they're going to have to always do this knas. There always should be some sort of deterrent, some sort of consequence. We should never rely only on the Gan Eden or Gehenim aspect. We have to have something physical that's difficult to do, but not too difficult. Now, the big knas has to be significantly more difficult than the small knas in order for this to work properly. If your small knas is $50, the big knas should be $500. If the small knas is going to the Kaisel and staying there for an hour, the big knas should be staying there for 6 hours. Or let's say you live in Yerushalayim, you'd have to take a bus all the way to Meiron and stay there for 6 hours. If the small knas is fasting a half a day, the big knas should be a 24-hour fast. Or maybe you have to tell your Rav or your wife or a close friend that you had a fall. Now, when it comes to one's wife, I just want to say that if your wife doesn't know about your struggles, this is not advisable. Only if your wife already knows about your struggles and knows that you're working on it, and she doesn't think you're totally cured, and she's willing to be there for support for you, then this could be a good knas to have to tell your wife that you had a fall. But if your wife either doesn't know about your struggles or she thinks that you're already past it, then telling her you had a fall will just cause her so much pain and possibly damage your marriage that this shouldn't be done without professional advice. Now, what things can we choose as distractions before falling? One of the best ones that we found is, like we said before, 10 minutes of rigorous exercise. That lets out a lot of the tension. It's not easy. A lot of times a person will feel, you know, the heck with it, it's too hard, I'll push it off for a different time. And even if he does it, it'll let out the tension, like we said before. But you can choose whatever you want. It can be a 20-minute walk. It can be that you listen to a Shmir Seinayim phone conference. There are a few hundred recorded shiurim on Guard Your Eyes. Each one is about 20 minutes long. To hear playbacks of Shmir Seinayim Shiurim, dial 209-255-1099 and then put in the participant code 454413 and then press the pound key. Then put in the number of the shiur you want to hear, 1, 2, 3, etc. I'm just going to repeat the numbers quickly for those who missed it. 209-255-1099, participant code 454413 pound. So that could be a good distraction to do before falling, that you have to listen to at least one full Shmir Seinayim Shir. Another very powerful distraction is to call your sponsor or a partner or a fellow GY member who knows you and tell him how you feel, tell him about your struggle, and stay on the phone with him for at least 5 minutes. You can use the GY Sponsor Partner Program on our website to find yourself a partner or a sponsor, and you can use the GY phone community to find yourself tens of numbers of guys who are sharing their numbers online, who are willing to talk to other strugglers when they're feeling weak. So that can be another distraction. That's actually a very powerful method that's used a lot in SA groups, Sexaholics Anonymous 12-step groups, that when you're feeling weak, you call a friend, you tell them how you're feeling. They say lust glows in the dark. When you bring it into the light, it fades. Also, lust breeds in isolation. If you're feeling a big taiva, you're probably alone. Give someone a call. Connect with someone else. Talk to someone, even if it's not someone who knows about your struggle. Talk to your brother. Talk to your mother. Talk to a friend. Just get out of isolation. Speak to someone. That's another example of something you can do as a distraction. The distractions could also be learning Gemara for 20 minutes, being Maver Sedra for half an hour, saying Tillim for half an hour. Sometimes the distraction could even be a small thing. Like, let's say a guy has his main nisyonis at night when he's in bed. So his shvuah includes the distraction that he has to get out of bed, leave the room he's in, wash his face, take a drink of water, and then go back into bed. So let's say he's falling asleep and he has a strong desire. And then he remembers that if I just give into it, I'm going to have a very big knas. It's just not worth it. And the only way to get out of that is to get up, leave the room, wash my face, take a drink of water, etc. So many times he'll think to himself, I'm just too tired for that. Forget it. I'll just push it off. So even leaving the room can be a big help. But each person needs to find the right balance. There might be a lot of trial and error with the tafsik method, but don't let that discourage you. Once you find the right balance, you'll see that it works wonders. And you'll know that it's working. You'll feel finally a freedom from the obsession, like a switch went off in your mind. It's just not an option anymore. I finally have hope. Now, for those of you who have internet, you can find more about the tafsik method and how it works on our website. You can download the handbook, and it appears in tool number 10, including the nusach and suggestions and how to set up the shvuah. Or you can find it on the menu bar. There's something called the GY program, the 20 progressive tools. If you go to tool number 10, it's called Extra Strong Fences, Tafsik Method. But for those who don't have internet, we'll wait 30 seconds for you to get a pen and paper so you can try to write it down as we read it, because it's very important to get the nusach right. A lot of guys call up our hotline with all types of problems that they got into because of the shvuah, and they're not sure what to do because they didn't say it right or they didn't take something or other into account. So a lot of thought has gone into how to make the nusach foolproof so that people don't get into issues or doubt. So we're going to wait now 30 seconds for you to get a pen and paper, and then we'll continue. Okay, everybody ready? So here's the nusach. Ani nishba, or I swear, b'shem Adoy Shem, in the name of God, and you can actually pronounce the name of Hashem here. Now, if you feel uncomfortable putting that in, or if you don't feel you need to go that far, that's fine. You can leave that out. So again, ani nishba, I swear, in the name of God, that until 1 month from now, or until 2 weeks from now, you can fill in the blank, whatever date it is that you decide. But never make the shvuah indefinitely. Always set a limit to the shvuah, so you have the opportunity to review it, to adjust it, based on your experience. Yes, so until this and this date, if I have a fall, which is defined by one of the following things, either I'm moitizar levatala intentionally, while fully awake, or if I intentionally obtain in any way adult sexual material of any sort, whether it's digital or printed, including magazines, DVDs, or if I intentionally go to any websites or web pages, pictures, videos, chats, or forums for the purpose of viewing adult sexual content, including any type of adult-oriented images, drawings, videos, audio, or erotic reading material, and I actually ended up viewing or listening to this inappropriate content, or if I initiate contact with or respond positively to any woman other than my wife for a sexually related purpose, including by mail, chat, webcam, Skype, etc., or if I partake in any illicit sexually oriented services of any kind, including calls to adult phone lines. Again, if these things are not what you struggle with, you don't have to include everything. Basically, the shvuah should include the things that you feel are a stumbling block for you. So anyway, these are the things that we're defining as a fall in the shvuah. So again, if I have a fall, which is defined by one of the following things, A, B, C, D, E, then if I did the distraction that I agreed to do, in other words, if I did 10 minutes of exercise, and I called a friend for 5 minutes, and I said 10 minutes of Tehillim, it could also be or. If I did 10 minutes of exercise, or I called a friend for 5 minutes, or I did 10 minutes of Tehillim, you can decide if it's and or if it's or. It could be a combination of things that you're going to do. So if I did these things within the 90 minutes or within the hour preceding my fall, then, within the next 36 hours, or any other time frame you choose, I will do the small knas that I decided above. I will fast a half a day, I will give $50 to tzedakah, for each day, or for each 3-hour period, in which I have a fall. So I will do the small knas for each day or each three-hour period in which I fall. Because if, for example, looking at pornography is considered a fall, and you're looking at pornography for 10 minutes straight at 20 different web pages, obviously you don't have to do 20 times the knas. So that's why it's important to say for each three-hour period or for each hour period within which I fall, I have to do the knas. And then you continue the shua and you say, if I did not do any or all of these things in the 60 minutes preceding my fall, then within the next 36 hours or any other time frame that you choose, I will have to do the big knas. I will have to fast for 24 hours, or I will have to give $1,000 to guard your eyes, or I will have to tell my Rebbe or my Rav that I had a fall, something really difficult. Now, right after you say the Shavua, it's important to say some disclaimers to make sure you don't get into trouble. And these disclaimers should be said toich kedei dibur of the Shavua, so they're part of the Shavua. And you say something like this: if I had to do the small knas more than three times, the shvua should no longer be binding on me from then on. The reason that's important is because, let's say a person sees it's just not working, you know, and already three times he had to fast half a day, or three times he had to give $50 to tzedakah in the last month. So obviously that means that he needs to reevaluate his shvua. He needs to either increase the knas or decrease the big knas or change the distractions. He needs to sit down and reevaluate. So if he had to do the small knas already three times, the shvua should no longer be chal. Another disclaimer to say toich kedei dibur is that if I had to do the big knas even once, the shvua should no longer be binding on me. And again, this is so that you have a chance to reevaluate. How could it be that the big knas wasn't enough to stop me? Maybe it wasn't big enough. Maybe the distractions I had weren't distracting enough, etc. Of course, this doesn't mean you shouldn't redo the shvua. It just means you should sit down and reevaluate how you can make it stronger for yourself. Another disclaimer you should say toich kedei dibur is that if I had a fall without remembering I made this shvua, I will only have to do the small knas. Because if chas v'shalom, you totally forgot that you made this shvua, you forgot that you have to do all these distractions beforehand, and you just had a fall out of habit or something, you know, you don't want to get into a situation where you have to do this huge knas and you didn't even remember. So if you totally forgot, you only have to do the small knas. And one last disclaimer to say is that if I'm honestly not sure that I had a fall based on the criteria that I set in the shvua for a fall, then I will not have to do any knas. Again, this is only if I'm honestly not sure. Now, some people tell us that they can't fast, it's impossible for them, or they can't afford to give money to tzedakah, they don't have the money. There's always going to be something, though, that you can use as a knas. For example, you can even make a shvua that if you fall, you're going to have to write 500 times on a piece of paper, Hashem, I love you, please help me stop. Hashem, I love you, please help me stop. 500 times. And maybe the small knas could be writing it just 100 times. There's always something you can do in any situation to be the knas. And again, never give up. It's hard to get the balance right at first, but with enough trial and error, you'll find the perfect balance that really works for you. It's important to point out that you got to renew the shvua before it expires. Like if you made the shvua for 1 month, don't wait till the month is over and then say, okay, now I'll sit down and look it over and renew it. Because the Yetzer Hara will use that loophole and get you to fall. Don't wait until it expires. Sit down 2 days before it expires, look over the shvua, evaluate if it's working for you, and renew the shvua for another month before it's over. It's also very important to use a pen and paper or a computer to write down the shvua carefully and keep it for your record so you can review exactly what you said and make it better and better each time. We advise everyone who uses the Tafsik method to send their shvua to help@guardyoureyes.org by email. Again, help@guardyoureyes.org. Send us the nusach that you set up, the small knas you chose, the big knas you chose, the distractions you chose, and we'll review it and give you advice and tell you if there's any loopholes you might have missed or any dangers you might be getting into. If you only have email and you don't have internet access and you didn't get a chance to write down the nusach of the shvua, we can send it to you by email. Again, send an email to help@guardyoureyes.org and ask for the nusach, and we'll send you the nusach as a PDF. Now, there's one more thing I want to emphasize. The Tafsik method is not a solution. It doesn't make inner change. It's only a fence. Imagine a dangerous gorilla. You lock him up in a zoo, surround him with an electric fence, and the gorilla, he's trying to get out. He keeps banging against the electric fence, and every time he bangs, he gets electrocuted and he jumps back. But if he stays a gorilla, at some point, he's going to probably end up breaking free of the fence, even if it works for a while. It's the same thing with the Tafsik method. If you stay a gorilla inside, then at some point, you'll probably end up breaking out of the fence or just not renewing the shvua. There has to be inner change as well. And that's where the 12-step program comes in. The 12-step program helps us change inside. We change our whole way of thinking. We learn to stop living only for ourselves and focus outwards instead. We learn to stop white-knuckling the fight and give the struggle over to Hashem instead. We learn that when we maintain a healthy spiritual condition, Hashem takes care of us. We no longer need to act out. We learn to rely on our higher power. We develop an emunah that starts to really work for a change. Guard Your Eyes has 12-step daily phone conferences that you can join by phone anonymously from anywhere in the world. I suggest you take a pen and paper and write down this information. Guard Your Eyes 12-step phone conferences take place 4 times a week, Monday through Thursday. The first call of the day is at 8:30 in the morning, Eastern Time. The second call is at 12 noon, and there's a call at 10 o'clock in the evening as well. Find the time that works best for you and try to stick to it each day, because each call has its own moderator and the calls don't always go at exactly the same pace. The number to call is 209-255-1000, and the PIN code is 637207. Again, it's 209-255-1000, and the access code is 637207, and then you press the pound key and you're in. From the UK, you can call 078-484-32913. Again, 078-484-32913. And the access code is the same, 637207, and press the pound key. From Israel, you can call 076-599-0060. And the access code is again the same, 637207 pound. So we have these calls going on basically year-round, and even if you join in middle of the 12-step program, you'll still gain a lot. First of all, you'll have the group support, which is critical in breaking free of addictions. You'll learn a lot about the 12-step program. Even if you came in middle, you can end the cycle with the call and then join again when the new cycle starts, and you'll already have a background. The new cycles start twice a year, usually after Sukkot and after Pesach. Each cycle takes about 3-4 months. And anyone who joins on the call is usually hooked up with a partner to work through the 12 steps. Certain steps require like a chavrusa, steps 4 and 5. The group support is very powerful. Camaraderie is powerful. You have a moderator who's experienced, who's been there, done that. He's gone through the struggle himself. He knows what it takes. And this can help you make some real inner change. But since the inner change takes time, it's a paradigm shift in thinking. It doesn't happen overnight, so it's very important to have the Tafsik method as well in place, to have a strong fence while the gorilla is still a gorilla to keep him in check until slowly the gorilla turns into a human and has that inner change that's so necessary. Now, I want to give one last advanced tip for the Tafsik method. If a person finds that a certain situation is a major stumbling block for them, for example, they found a specific loophole in their filter, or let's say their mother lives next door and she has a computer without a filter and she leaves the house often and you suddenly find yourself struggling with a specific nisayon that you find is really difficult for you. In such a case, you can add to the Tafsik Shavua a line like this, that if I do this and this specific thing, which you find is a very big nisayon for you, then you'll have to do the big knas, regardless of what you did beforehand. In other words, even if you do the distractions, when it comes to this specific stumbling block, you're going to have to do the big knas regardless. So that helps a lot to make this particular stumbling block no longer an option in your mind, and then you'll feel free of the compulsion. One last thing I want to mention is that even though we said at the beginning that making direct shvuas, like I will not look at pornography or I will not masturbate, doesn't usually work, still, these kind of shvuas can work in specific cases to help keep you far from the edge of the cliff. For example, if you find that watching movies ends up triggering you and bringing you to falls, you can make a shvua for a month in addition to the Tafsik method. In other words, a separate shvua. You can make a shvua that I will not watch movies for 1 month. Or you can make a shvua that I will not browse the internet on a device that doesn't have any filter when I'm alone in the room. These kind of shvuas can help in setting up fences to keep you far from the edge of the cliff. But when it comes to the actual falling, a person should never make a shvua directly that I will not be Moitzi Zer Levatala or I will not look at arousing images. And that's where the Tafsik method comes in. So we've come now to the end of this shir. The Gemara says, Abal etayr misayin loy. He who comes to be purified, they help him. And Chazal also say, B'derech sh'adam roitze leleches meilichin oisoy. In the way a person wants to go, they lead him. The Marsha asks, why does the Gemara always speak in plural form? They help him, they lead him. So he explains that every effort a person makes creates an angel. And when the army of angels gets large enough, it has the power to help a person overcome all the obstacles and lead him where he wants to go. Every time we say no, every tefillah we offer, it all adds up. Chazal say that Pinchas saved Klal Yisrael from divine wrath because he was Me'oira Din Lemata, he aroused judgment on this world, and by doing that, he was Mevatel Din Lemala, he canceled out the judgment above. when we make a tafsik shvua and we give ourselves penalties, in essence, we're awakening judgment on ourselves on this world every time we stumble. And by doing that, we're surely being mevatel the din lamala, the divine judgment, and changing it from din to rachamim. Every time we say no, a priceless coin is added to our spiritual bank. Even if we do end up falling, we never lose what we had previously gained. And when we have enough spiritual coins in our account, Hashem will definitely help us to completely break free. Thank you for listening.